Good morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Last Sunday, snow. This Sunday, first day of spring. So, you know, it's just the way it goes here in East Tennessee. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Good to be in God's house. As we're going to sing about His greatness this morning. But first, we're going to do a responsive reading as we did a few weeks ago. So your part's easy. It's the same line over and over. So I'm going to ask that you stand with us as we do the responsive reading and remain standing for the hymn of dedication this morning. I'll start us out. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable.
O Lord, there is none like you.
One generation shall praise Thy works to another and shall declare Thy mighty acts.
O Lord, there is none like you.
I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty, and men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts. They shall abundantly utter the memory of Thy great goodness.
O Lord, there is none like you.
Join us as we sing this morning.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe display. Thus sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And when I think that God His Son not sparing, send Him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Again, welcome to our service this morning. Turn and greet each other this morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is good to see you. We're glad you're here today. We welcome those watching today by Facebook and YouTube, and those who listen by way of radio. We welcome you to our service today. We're excited about today. Today is Baptism Day, and so when we conclude over here, we'll walk next door to the old auditorium, and we'll have a baptism. Easton is going to be baptized today, so we're excited about that, and he is too. So we welcome you to stay with us for the baptism service if you want to do that. I'll be preaching today about the greatness of God. Psalm 139 is where the scripture will be taken from. So we want you to join with us as we worship the Lord together today from his word and in music today. Hey, we're one more day closer home. And that's just how it is every day. We're just one more day closer home. And I'm glad that you're here with us today. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this day, and we thank you for all that you are to us. And Lord, as we think today about your greatness, I just pray that we would worship you in truth and in spirit today. Help us, Lord, today to honor you and to glorify you in all that we do. And may we open our hearts to your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. As mentioned, there are several announcements there in your bulletin. Just pay attention to those that pertain to you that you may be interested in. Several events planned there, so just take note of those in the weeks and days ahead. We're going to continue singing this morning with assurance of faith and walking with God. So we're going to sing I Know Whom I Have Believed and Blessed Assurance. You join in with us.
This is my song.
praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you. Great songs of commitment and trust. We're going to continue with that theme this morning. Who can satisfy my soul like you? Who is more trustworthy, more faithful than God Himself? So if you could stand with us on this first one, we'll let you sit on the second one. If you could stand and join in with us, if you're able to stand, join in, please, with us.
Satisfy my soul like you. You are the
Comforting to know that as great as he is, he reigns upon the throne, as we'll hear in Psalm 139. He knows our thoughts. He knows who we are. So we're going to sing the song, He Knows My Name. I'm sure many of you know the song. You join in with us. If you know the song, join in with us. You know who we are. You know our name, as the song says. We thank you for the words in Psalms that just teach us how you personally know us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your greatness in this world and in our life. We ask that you open our hearts as we receive your word today. Thank you for the opportunity we had to sing your praises this morning. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Along with that theme this morning, I'm going to sing a special song this morning. God will take care of you. It's a very common hymn, very familiar hymn. But the words of the song, I thought, just went with the pastor's message this morning. The greatness of God is evident in his word. but the personal relationship we have through His Son, Jesus Christ, is He will take care of our needs. So I'm going to sing that this morning. God will take care of you. Not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you.
Thank you, Jeff and worship team, for the music this morning. Psalm 139, and I'll read a few verses here. I want to begin at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my downsetting and my rising up. You understand my thought far off. You comprehend my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. All of us need to grow in our relationship with God. And I'm convinced that one way we do that is to know more about God and to understand more about God. The way we know more about God and understand more about God is to get into the Bible, read the Bible, and also through music and through experiences of life, we come to know Him. Thinking about God helps us to understand Him better. It really does. In Matthew 27:37, the gospel writer said this: there's a man who came to Jesus and asked him what the great commandment was. Jesus said to him in verse 37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And in Mark's gospel, Mark goes on to add the word strength. So heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now what that says to us is that we are to love God and to know God with all that we are. So what the Bible gives us here is some ideas on how to do that. But it's not possible, really, to think about God and to know Him more unless we love Him deeply. And that's what the Bible is saying. So if we have a love for God, then we can know Him better, we can understand Him better, and we can have a better relationship with Him. Now, when I talk about the greatness of God, what I like to do this morning is talk about God's goodness and God's love. And really, to me, those are two very important things when we think about the greatness of God. The Bible contains many references to the goodness and love of God. When we think about what we think about God, really, determines our relationship that we have with Him. So the Bible tells us that we can have this relationship with Him. But what it does is what we think about God, it affects our what we think about other people, what we think about the universe, what we think about God's Word, God's will, what we think about sin, what we think about obedience, what we think about faith. What we think about God, you know, affects all of that. Now, wrong ideas about God will lead to wrong ideas about who we are and what we are. That leads to a wrong life on a wrong path and a wrong destiny. So it's important that we have the right thoughts about God, that we think the right way about God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. For example, if God is good and righteous, and He is, then that's what God wants us to be. And so that's how we should think about God. What God is in His attributes and character and His faithfulness to us, then that's what He wants us to be. He wants us to live that kind of life. So in Psalm 139, what David is doing here is thinking about the greatness of God. So what he does here is to share with us some encouraging words about the greatness of God that I want to talk about this morning. First of all, God knows us. God knows us. And so that's the first truth that I want to talk to you about today. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 John 3:20 that God is greater than our heart and that he knows all things. God knows everything. If there is a sure know-it-all, it's God. God knows it all. And he knows everything there is to know about us. So that means that he knows who you are. He knows who I am. He knows those who belong to him. And that should give us great encouragement and great comfort. God knows you better than you know you. Now think about that. There's not a thing about you that God doesn't know. There's not a thing about me that God doesn't know. He knows everything about everybody. He knows it all the time. And so the knowledge that God has is his greatness. That's how great he is. Now, here's the point. Is this not an intellectual knowledge that God has? God has personal knowledge. And what that means is God is a personal God. You know, we can talk about all the deep attributes of God and all that kind of thing, but here's where I'm going with this. God is personal. He is a personal God that knows us. And a personal God means that we can have a relationship with him. So God knows all there is to know about everything. Hey, I heard this story about what happened down at the courthouse. This prosecuting attorney, he was going to prosecute a case. And so he called his first witness to the stand, Mrs. Jones. And so getting going with the prosecution there, through the witness, he said this. The attorney said, "Now, Miss Jones, you know me." She said, "Oh, yes, I know you." Said, "I've known you all your life." And she said, very frankly, he had a big smile on his face, but she goes on to say that something that changed the smile. She said, "Very frankly, you've been a great disappointment to me." She said, "I want you to know that, you're not a good lawyer and all that kind of thing." And so by that time, he didn't know what to say. He was taken back. So he pointed to the defense attorney. And he said, "Mrs. Jones, do you know this defense attorney?" "Oh, yes, I know him. I used to babysit for him. He cheated his way through law school. You know, he charges everybody too much." And about that time, the judge's gavel went down, and he called the two attorneys to the bench, and he told them this. He said, "If any of you two asked her if she knows me, I'm going to throw you in jail." Well, Miss Jones, she knew a lot about what was going on in town. But see, God knows. God knows more than her, and God knows everything. And that's what the Bible is saying to us here. Now, God knows what we are. In verse 1, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me." The word "search" means to pierce. It means to dig down deep. And so the Bible is saying to us that God knows what we are. He has X-ray vision. And so deep down in the deepest part of your heart, that no one knows what is there, God knows. You know, and God knows. Now see, this is great encouragement for me. Because here's what it says. God knows your pain. God knows your hurt. God knows what's going on down there. I mean, God knows what's in your heart. So God knows us. You know, in life, things don't always turn out like we want them to. In life, you know, some things happen that could lead to a life of anger, bitterness, or really what happens is our heart becomes hardened. And we can become very cynical people if we let that, take place. And so that's why God knows what's there. And that's encouragement. And so when that starts to happen and sets in, I don't want that. And I want God to change that. And so that's what God can do. So what David does here is affirm God's involvement in his life. In other words, God was a personal God to David. God knew what was going on in David's heart. God knew what was going on in David's life. And God knows the same thing about you and about me. God knows what we think. In verse 2, he says, "When I sit down, when I rise up, You understand my thought from afar off. Now, here's a thought that's going to blow your mind. Do you know that God knows what you're going to think even before you think that thought? God knows that. And see, here again, here's the personal God. When I sit down, when I rise up. So what's David saying here? He's talking about the activity of life. That God knows what we think. And so have, you know, I don't know if this has ever occurred to you or not. But you can never tell God a secret. And the reason you can never tell God a secret is because God knows everything that there is to know. God knows where we go. In verse 3, David said, "You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with my ways." So whether we lie down or get up or sit or stand or whatever, God knows all about that. Proverbs 15:3, the verse says this, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch over the evil and over the good." So don't ever think that God ever takes his eyes off of you. Now, there's an old story that goes around, and this story's been around for a long time. It's talking about this church, this country church. They were having this picnic. And so at the front of the serving table, they had all these big bushels of apples. And somebody had written a sign, and here's what the sign said. "Take only one apple, because God is watching the apples." Well, you go through the line, at the end of the line, you know, that's where the desserts are and cookies are and everything. And so down there where those cookies are, a little boy had gotten a piece of cardboard and written this sign. He said, "Take all the cookies you want, because God's watching the apples." Well, I like that story, and I like telling it. But anyway, what that says to us is, you know, God is watching, and God knows. God knows what we say. Look at verse 4. Even before we say it, even before there's a word, verse 4, even though before a word is in my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. And so that's just incredible to me to think about that. God not only knows what we say, what we're going to say, he knows what we're going to say before we even say it. So God knows all about that. In verse 5, he said this, David said, "You have hedged me." You know what he's saying there? You've hedged me. You've built a hedge around me. Through the circumstances in life, God worked in David's life to keep David from going maybe in a wrong path or making a wrong decision. You have hedged me. You have guarded me. You have protected me is what he's saying there. He said, "You have laid your hand upon me." You know what that is? That's the gentle blessing of God in your life. "You've laid your hand upon me, Lord. You have blessed me in so many ways." So when David was talking about that, you know, he just couldn't comprehend it. He really couldn't. It was just more than what he could really understand. The second truth here is that God is with us. Now, the theologians talk about it this way. They say that God is everywhere present. And they use Latin words to talk about the attributes of God, like omnipresence and omniscience and all that. But what we're saying here is that God is with us. And so listen to the question that David asked in verse 7. "Where can I go from your spirit?" And we know that the Holy Spirit is everywhere. So, you know, where can we go from his spirit? Not a place. "Where can I flee from your presence?" We know that God is everywhere present. So he's with us. That means the good times, the bad times. You know, God is everywhere with us, that he's there. So here's what he says, though. Here's how he illustrates that. In verse 8, he says this, that death cannot take us away from the presence of God. The Bible tells us that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And at death, that's what happens to a believer. So death doesn't separate us from the presence of God. In verse 9 and 10, he said, distance cannot take us away from the presence of God. Darkness, in verse 11 and 12, cannot take us away from the presence of God. Jeremiah said it this way in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 23. "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? So God is everywhere. The third truth is that God made us. Now here's the thing about this great psalm. When David wanted to illustrate the greatness of God, he could have talked about the universe. He could have talked about the creation of the mountains and the rivers and all the beauty we have here in East Tennessee. He could have talked about those things, but what he did was to talk about the human body. And he illustrated the greatness of God by talking about the human body. And I think that's just the neat, the way that he did that. So we know that God can do anything. We know that. There's nothing that God cannot do. However, there are some things God cannot do. God cannot lie, the Bible says. The Bible says God cannot die. God cannot do wrong. God cannot tempt other people to do wrong. God cannot do anything that is inconsistent with his character. So those are things God cannot do. But we know that God can do anything. We know that. But just to illustrate how powerful God is, he talks about the human body. In verse 13, you form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. See, from the womb until death, God planned your life. God knows you. God knows your future. God knows the decisions you're going to make in your life. I mean, God knows all about that. So he says, I will praise you, verse 14, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He said in verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. And so he's just talking about the greatness of God's creation of the human body. You see, God, David's confidence was in the Lord. And he knew that this God who created him and made him would be with him. And so God made us, and he made us, you know, in his image, and he made us for a purpose. So what does that say to us? It says to us that we need to be concerned about life in the womb. It says to us that every life in the womb is a creation of God. And we need to understand that, and we need to be aware of that. So when does life begin? It begins at the conception. That's where life begins, and that's what the Bible is telling us, that God made us. And God made us for a purpose, and God has a plan for our life. And then not only the things that we've talked about here, but the fourth truth that I want to talk about is what David is saying here, God will help us. Look at verse 23 and 24. Verse 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So, how does God help us? How will he help us? He'll search me. He'll let me know if my heart's getting hard. He'll let me know if I'm getting cynical. He'll let me know if there's bitterness or anger, whatever in there, you know, that I don't need to have. He'll work on those things. So search me and know my heart. But also, he'll know the good things. He'll know my love for him, and he'll know my motives, and he'll know the desire that you have to know him better and to worship him and to love him. See, he knows it's not only the negative, but it's also the positive. He knows how you really feel about him. So search me, try me, and know my anxieties, and he does, and he helps us with those, and lead me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I want to leave you with this thought. God is great. God knows all there is to know. God will help us. God is there for us. I mean, that's how great he is. But I want you to know this. You can know this great God. Not only does he know you, but you can know him. When you open your heart to him, when you open your life to him, and you put your faith and trust in him, and you believe in Jesus Christ, that's how you can know this great God. See, that's amazing to me. This great God has made a way that we can have a relationship with Him. He is personal. He is good. He is loving. And we can trust Him and we can put our faith in Him. He is the one who does right. He is the one who loves us. He's the one who's concerned about us. And that is the God that He is. You know, there's kind of been a misnomer around for a long time. And the misnomer is this a lot of times, and the misunderstanding is that faith is easy. And it's really not. See, there's a lot of things in life that challenge faith. Evil challenges faith. Sickness will challenge faith. Suffering will challenge faith. War will challenge faith. All those things challenge our faith. But we can trust in this God. And we can trust in the greatness of God with the problems of life, the injustice of life, the things of life we don't understand, because He is a personal God. And He knows and He loves and He cares about us. But you see, what you believe about Jesus Christ will really determine what you think about God. Now, I'm talking this morning about thinking about God. We want to think about God because the more we think about God, the more we understand Him, the closer we get to Him, the more knowledge we have of Him. All that's important. But what you think about Jesus Christ will really determine what you think about God. So here's the question. Is your God big or is your God small? Well, the answer to that question is He's both. He's big enough that the universe can't contain Him, but He's small enough that He can live in your heart and He can live in your life. And that's the God that He is. So He's both big and He's both small. Revelation 3:20 says it this way. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come in. If you need to open your heart to God today, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. We're going to stand here in a minute, have a song of invitation. And if He's knocking at your heart's door and you want to open your life to Him, we invite you to do that today. Let's stand, please, for a song of invitation. Father, we thank You for the day, and we thank You for this time that You've given us today. And Lord, we thank You for Your greatness. I pray today that there'd be those who would open their heart door to You. God, we know that You want to save, and we know that You want to have a relationship with us. But we've got to open that door. We've got to invite You in. So for those today who need to make that decision and open their life to You, I pray that they would come and say yes to this invitation. I pray today that they would establish a spiritual base with You and a relationship with You. Father, we just thank You for Your love and goodness to us. We thank You for Your greatness, because You are a great God. And that gives us so much encouragement to know that. We love You today. We want to serve You. We want to live for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just as I am without one queen, but that Thy blood was shed. Each spot, oh Lord.
Thank you for being here today. When we conclude here after our song of benediction, you're invited to walk over to the old auditorium. We'll have a baptismal service. If you want to be a part of that, you're certainly welcome to do that. So thank you for being here today, and go this week in God's grace. Worship team will come at this time, and they'll dismiss us in a closing chorus.
As we close today, we'll close with the chorus of What a Mighty God We Serve.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve.
Thank you. You're dismissed.